Two sisters lived on separate sides of the states. One in NYC and the other LA. They both moved to Chicago and decided to stay. Now here's their playful podcast packed with Kid Lit Parlay. Children's books.
Are they really that great?
Talking children's books is with Kate and Hughes 8.
Children's books.
Why, what, and how?
Hughes 8 and Kate will break it down for you now.
So guess where I was recently?
The moon.
No! That's next on the list. No. I was in Woodstock, Illinois. Would you like to know what's special about Woodstock, Illinois?
No.
You are ill-informed, as we found out many important things have happened in Woodstock, Illinois.
Such as?
That's where Orson Welles learned how to, he was a kid there. He learned how to direct. They had their own little theater. He learned how to, like, write and direct and everything. That's cool.
Okay.
And it's where they filmed Groundhog Day.
Uh-huh.
And I stayed in the bed and breakfast that Bill Murray is staying in Groundhog Day.
Did you play Cher every morning?
They don't, which I found strange. They did play Caddyshack, you know, I'm all right. And I'm
but that's a different movie.
But it's Bill Murray and it looks like a woodchuck or a groundhog, you know, whatever it is. It's close enough. The whole town has like, this is Ned's Corner. This is Old Man Alley. This is where the puddle is, you know, all that stuff. It is...
It's been a while since I saw that movie.
I just rewatched it. It holds up. Okay. I have to say. So if you want to look for a delightful bed and breakfast experience, the Cherry Tree Inn in Woodstock, Illinois, two thumbs way, way up over here,
how
buddy.
How far is that from Chicago?
It's like an hour and 15 minutes.
Well, that's not too bad.
Oh, no, it's great. But besides all that stuff, what is this podcast?
Fuse 8 and Kate.
That's right. I'm Betsy.
I'm Kate.
And this is Fuse 8 and Kate.
Yep.
Right. We covered that, though.
Yep.
So I guess I'm just going over ground that we already covered. And what do we do on this podcast?
We talk about children's picture books.
That's correct. And if they're...
Good.
Or...
Groundhogs.
Good. What? All right. This time now, so it is... I did not know this. You informed me that it is Autism Awareness Month.
It is.
And you
are... Are you aware?
I am now.
Be aware.
Because it's the month.
It's right now.
Exactly. And you had requested autism-adjacent picture books, and I had said... Most of the good ones were made in the last 20 years, and we have this rule that it has to be more than 20 years old,
uh-huh.
Which I have broken today.
Yay!
I apologize.
Don't
like breaking the rules, but in this case...
It's not your fault if they didn't make any autistic characters before,
well,
you know, 20 years.
Well, and this character was not intended to be an autistic character, but the autism community, particularly of children, have embraced this character as their own. This author, illustrator, actually has had young fans who have then grown up come to him with tattoos of this character because they have identified so closely with her. And so I was unaware of this until I think many of us were unaware of this until we were alerted. And so we're going to do it. And it's actually nice because... This is a guy who has commented on this podcast many, many, many times before.
Is it Amelia Bedelia?
Boy, is she on the spectrum? I had no idea.
Well, she takes things very literally.
She takes things super literally. Well, that would be very interesting. No, it's not Amelia Bedelia, because everyone who makes those books is dead.
Oh.
But no. Okay. It's this one. Boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo- She's still relatively new, though. She's almost 20 years old. And, yeah, this is,
Wait, are you saying the cat is autistic?
Yes. Oh, she has an entire early chapter book series. I think there's, like, 13 of them at this point. But it started with this picture book. This was the very first time she ever made an appearance. And we're going to read that today.
Okay.
While Kate does her read, let's talk a little bit more about Bad Kitty, autism, and why she's been so embraced. So in 2014, Nick Brule, the author of the books, was interviewed on the blog Allison's Book Bag by presumably Allison herself. And she asked this question. What do you think is the appeal of Bad Kitty to those kids who have autism or Asperger's? Nick, Starting about 5 years ago, I started receiving multiple emails from parents and teachers of kids on the Asperger's side of the autism spectrum. Simultaneously, I began meeting those same kinds of kids at public events. A pattern was beginning to develop, so I decided to correspond with those parents who were open to it and find out what they thought Bad Kitty's appeal was to these kids. I received two answers from them, both of which surprised me. First, they told me that their kids really responded to Kitty's facial features and expressions. This surprised me because it was counterintuitive to what people think about autistic kids, that they do not interpret or respond to facial expressions, and that they find them too subtle and confusing, and all of this is true, but apparently with Kitty's face, this was not the case. Kitty's face is static on the page. Her face usually takes on extreme expressions, so there is little doubt about what emotion she's trying to convey, and it probably helps that her face is depicted in black and white to further make her expressions distinct. The second thing I learned, and apparently this came from the kids themselves, was that they thought Bad Kitty herself was autistic. I think it's natural for readers to identify with characters that appeal to them, but there was some real reasoning behind their thoughts. Kitty does not like change. Kitty often takes things quite literally. What may be obvious to others is not obvious to Kitty. I certainly was not conscious of having created an autistic character, but if this is how she is interpreted, then it's an interpretation I will embrace. Bad, 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 bad kitty. You make me feel so good.
Make me feel so good. You know you make me feel so good.
That's bad kitty, bad kitty. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Freak out is the answer.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, that's what Kitty's going to... Yeah, Kitty's going to do a massive freak out.
You know what's interesting is that looking at the title page, She.
I love her because she doesn't have big boobs and eyelashes, and yet it is a she.
Yeah.
One of the very few picture book characters.
Really weird if this cat had big boobs.
Sorry, but... dude. They do that to animals all the freaking time. They put boobs, like, you know, they're furry boobs, but they're clearly, like, there's a chest there. I disagree with that so much.
Well, she drew a picture of herself on the wall.
Yes.
With whiskers.
But you do not detect any whiskers.
But
in
she
the
doesn't have
cat.
Whiskers.
All right.
So
I need to look up if she has whiskers on her middle grade series because she has changed her look a bit. So let me do this quick. I have never noticed this before. You're correct. She does not appear to ever have whiskers.
I wonder.
Like none of her covers have whiskers.
Yeah.
Maybe they all got burned off.
Burned off.
I don't know. She gets into trouble, man.
Only if. Bad things are coming her way.
Right. She's like a New Yorker. She's perfectly nice unless she thinks you've been rude, and at which point she becomes super rude.
rude is one way of putting
well,
it.
Well, yeah. Well, psychotic is another way, yeah.
Well, it starts off with saying she used to be a good kitty until one day, and then the owner, which you can tell because, number one, it's a different font, and number two, it's like off camera.
Yeah. Off camera completely, which says, continues through all the Bad Kitty series.
Okay, it says, we're all out of food for the kitty. All we have are some healthy and delicious. And at this point, the cat, who has been sleeping, opens one eye. And it's the tiny pupil for me.
Yeah.
It's the...
and the rising fear.
It's an alphabet book.
Yeah, it's an alphabet book.
It starts off with vegetables to kill your cat.
Do they really?
A lot of them do. Like
No wonder she's pissed off.
Well, number one, onions. They are really? Highly toxic, and even a small amount can cause oxidative damage to red blood cells, limiting the ability for oxygen to reach vital organs.
Oh, poor kitty.
Yeah, and other things that are not good to feed your cat that are included in this book include garlic and leeks. So
really?
At first, I was very confused because I was like, are they trying to kill their cat?
Well, I mean, now this is interesting because in one of the Bad Kitty books, there is a long section on why you should never, ever, ever, ever give your cat chocolate. And it talks about how dangerous that is because Kitty in the book wants a chocolate cake and that is not cool. That is not something she can have. So I think this book sets it up very clearly that this is a stupid move on the owner's part. Well, and that you would not give any of these to a cat.
No, I mean,
yeah.
They're healthy options for... adults.
Humans, exactly. Yeah, but this owner's kind of...
But I do like, for H, it's horseradish. And I know that, you know, that's what the illustration of horseradish looks like. But it looks like carrots. And I just... only thing I could think of was... Creepy carrots.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to that episode, that's where that song came from.
That's an excellent one.
Though, okay, he's kind of cheating when we get to Q.
What's Q?
Squashes.
Oh, yeah. Though.
And cheating with you.
Okay.
Rhubarb.
But the X.
Right.
Is, he got, okay, here's fun fact. He told me this. He got that. Do you remember we did Eating the Alphabet by Lois Ellert on this show?
Mm-hmm.
And for X, she did, is it Zwiga?
Yeah, she
watermelons with an X. Yeah, they're watermelons with an X. He got that idea from her book. He was like, what am I going to do for X? And then he saw that in her book and he was like, oh, thank God.
But then we kind of get into some, okay, listen. I like the one... snarly tooth.
Oh, I love her
sticking
tooth.
Out.
Yeah, because we had a cat like that growing up. Saul had one tooth that he would drool from.
I like the snarly tooth.
No wonder you like it.
Hold on to that.
Okay. I'm holding on to that drooly tooth.
Hold on to it real tight.
All right.
So Kitty's not happy with all these vegetable options and decided that she would be a bad kitty. But not just any bad kitty. A very, very bad, bad, bad kitty.
It's a good read aloud this book.
And then decides to, again, go through the alphabet of all the horrible things that the cat has decided to do.
Yes.
endangered the goldfish for
E. I love that. Yeah. Doesn't actually...
It's
destroy it, just endangers.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite because of the mutual side eyes between the cat and the fish.
Yeah.
Like, they know what's going on, but they can't...
They're both locked in this eternal struggle, and neither of them can get out of it.
Though another one that is quite good is plotted against us for P.
I love that one. Yes. He got very creative with the destruction,
yes.
I will say.
And I can see where you could get a lot of different tattoo ideas out of this book.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of side eye happening. There's craziness all around. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The last two books, I found some weird continuity errors, right?
Yeah, there was, sure. Yeah.
There was the gardener
uh-huh.
who had the bakery
bread
in the window.
Right.
And then it wasn't. And then it was.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't. Was.
Yeah, we've never gotten an answer on that.
And then King Stork. Where he's not really wearing shoes, but the text says he took off his shoes and stockings.
Yeah. I was willing to let that one go just because he might have said those were shoes and stockings, but yeah, okay. But
this one, there's... Whether the mouth is open or closed, there's no consistency with the snarly tooth.
Oh, but that's okay. I'm okay with that because cats don't... When we had a cat with a snarly tooth, it wasn't always poking out. It would poke out at certain moments.
It would poke out if your mouth is open.
Well, but then it looks like the other tooth.
Because sometimes Kitty's mouth is open and it's sticking out. Sometimes Kitty's mouth is closed and it's sticking out. Sometimes Kitty's mouth is closed and it's not sticking out. Sometimes Kitty's mouth is open and it's not sticking out.
I'm willing to give some leeway on this one, if only because Kitty is more cartoon-like than anything else, and the tooth has a emotional journey to take in the course of this. The tooth has a it pinpoints certain moments, and so I feel it is more a metaphorical tooth than a literal tooth. It's a metaphorical
tooth,
sharp drooly tooth
that you can see.
I just want to say drooly tooth a lot.
Okay. Really I like how T, you know, because again you're going through the alphabet.
Yeah.
Quarreled with our neighbor, ruined the rug, sold my toys. These are all examples.
Yeah,
that
sold
bad
my toys is great. Yeah.
That bad kitty is doing. I like T, tormented a little mouse. And you look at this mouse, who has seen things, man? It's like the mouse...
It's been there, man.
...has been in war.
It's not good.
And came back.
Any mouse that lived in the home with Bad Kitty would have a hard time of it, I would think.
Well, Bad Kitty seems to have a hard time adjusting to change.
Yes, which has, if you listen to the thing, this is what the autistic kids have brought up with Nick Brule. Is as part of their argument as to why Kitty is autistic.
Yeah.
It's because Kitty does not deal with change well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just so the listeners know, I am autistic. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that came out to me was, oh, change bad.
Change bad.
Change very bad.
And also, it's a bad change.
Change hard.
Yeah. change hard, but also this was not a good change to begin with, so.
Well, if you're going to be fed food that's going to kill you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the point, yeah.
So then, so Kitty has been very bad. But then, okay, Kitty's owners say they come back from the grocery store.
It's a one heck of a grocery store.
I'm concerned.
Slash zoo.
About this store.
It's like Trader Joe's, but with livestock. And zoo animals.
They say, look at all the good food I bought for Kitty.
Uh-huh.
We have just some examples. A donkey named Dave.
Go, girl. Eat that donkey.
Fried flies.
I mean, a cat would eat those. My cats eat flies all the time.
Hippo hamburgers.
That's why I hire them.
Not hamburgers made out of
hippo. No.
But a hamburger, like, bun with a hippo in between.
This is a good case where I think Kitty's eyes are bigger than her stomach.
Kitty's,
or mouth, for
Kitty's,
that matter.
Kitty's very happy with getting some nightingale nuggets, some penguin pizza.
I mean, I would eat a nightingale nugget so fast. That sounds delicious.
But here's my concern. You get to you, and it says, Uncle Murray.
Oh, Uncle Murray. Uncle Murray's a huge character in the Bad Kitty books.
Oh.
My brother-in-law, whenever he reads Uncle Murray, he always talks like this. That's the Uncle Murray voice.
I'm just wondering how much Uncle Murray cost at the grocery store.
I know. Or I think, was he just hanging out there like, come on with us, Uncle Murray? Okay.
How much do you cost? Great. Come on home. I'm going to feed you to my cat.
Yes. Like, he has a contentious relationship with the cat, and maybe that all started here.
Well, because he was initially going to be food?
Yes. That would be my argument, yes.
So now that Kitty is going to be getting yak yogurt and zebra ziti, Kitty is very, very happy and decided that from now on she would be a good kitty, but not just any good kitty, a very, very good, good, good kitty, which this is very minor.
Okay.
But when the page said that Kitty was going to be a very, very bad, bad, bad kitty, the last bad was all in caps.
Oh, and this was not all in caps?
This very, very good, good, good kitty, the last good's not all in caps.
Burn the book! Burn it, I say!
I'm just...
I shall get the matches!
Look, I am here to look for details, and I find it in illustrations...
Typography!
And text.
All right.
Hey, at least the text isn't going over from one page to the other.
I believe I have an original edition of this book, too. It might have been updated in subsequent editions. Or maybe not, because literally nobody freaking cares, Kate!
Look, I care,
okay? You care.
Like, though, that... Okay, so we're going through the alphabet again of all the good things.
This is the fourth? One? This is the fourth alphabet in the book.
Third.
We had the food. We had the food, then we had the
bad
behavior,
things.
Then we had this good food, right. Now we have the good behavior things.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the fourth one. Yeah.
This is the good behavior. Yeah. Like, cleaned her cat box, drove me to school, finished my homework, gave to UNICEF. I really like invited affection because finally those pupils are nice and big.
I know, they do the cat thing and also shows her little white chest.
Yeah,
on her
little
tummy,
belly.
And you just want it. She's so cute. When he wants to do cute, he can do cute.
But then Jay has joined the jamboree. Is that like brownies or Girl Scouts?
I think he couldn't say Girl Scouts, so he did jamboree, but clearly that is a Girl Scout outfit.
But all the shoes are like old lady shoes.
Yeah, maybe it's like, what was it Mom was in? Firefly Girls or something? Like, there's a million, like, variations on Girl
Scouts.
These
look like old ladies, not young
girls.
Oh,
well, then maybe not. I don't know, then. It's a good question. I don't know. I can't answer your shoe question. Maybe shoes are really hard to draw. Entirely possible.
Well, and I like how previously with the bad behavior, Kitty attacked the vet, but now Kitty is polite to the vet. And the vet did not change their shirt. It is still a green shirt underneath. Mm-hmm. So it,
there you go.
It just always wears the same thing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's easy.
Could be the same day. We don't know, like, the time period of all this, so, yeah.
Okay, so previously Bad Kitty was, like, making a lot of noise at night, and mm-hmm. now... The positive thing is Kitty sang opera all night for the O. And I'm wondering, do you think he chose opera to sing because there's a famous opera singer named Kitty Waitley?
I think you are giving him too much credit, but we're going to say yes, he knew that, and he is making a direct correlation between the two.
Okay.
But that is pretty cool.
I don't know. I just thought that
was... I like that. I like that fact.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Right. So Kitty tied my shoes, didn't eat Uncle Murray.
Okay, I love that. Suddenly Uncle Murray, who was previously on the food page, has shown up in the good behavior page, supplanting whatever the U was for the bad behavior.
And Uncle Murray goes, phew.
That's all he needs to say.
Yeah. Filed our taxes, gave me a yellow yo-yo. It was a very, very good kitty. Now, how can we reward such a good kitty? We're going to give the cat a dog. Yeah. And then the cat's clearly not thrilled with this.
Poor puppy. This
is where I went, so this character's associated with autism because it's difficult to cope with transitions and change.
Right. Correct.
Done and done.
Done and done.
Got it.
As you say. Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. Nick Brule had been around for a while, but this was the book that launched him into the stratosphere. If you want a bad kitty stuffed animal, if you want bad kitty books, all that sort of stuff, stickers, you name it, he's got the stuff out there. I have not yet seen a bad kitty TV show, which strikes me as odd, and certainly not a bad kitty movie, but I would be first in line for the bad kitty movie, because with all those books... Because there's a whole cast of other cats in the neighborhood. So I would be on board for that.
But, okay. Yeah.
Ratings time.
You go first.
I love Bad Kitty. I have to admit, this is one of those things. It came out during my early days as a children's librarian. And I love its sense of humor. I love its goofiness. I love its style. It's cartoon-like illustrations, but it's the funny. And also the fact that he manages to do the... Like, an alphabet book is hard to do originally. And he does it four freaking times. It's like he does... And he manages to do it in a succinct number of pages. Like, this book could have been, like, you know, 48 or something. He doesn't have to do that. The plot is clean and clear. It makes a lot of sense. You get Kitty's personality right from the get-go. It traipses into utter ridiculousness with the foods that Kitty does like. So ridiculous that a kid is going to get that joke. I'm a big fan of Kitty. I'm a 7. I like Kitty that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
The snarl tooth showing up and going away and showing back up again.
I would call
and
it
going
a
away.
Snaggle tooth, but all right.
It bothers me, but that's just me.
Sure.
So when you said that there's stuffed animals, I immediately went, oh, is there a stuffed animal where you can, like, take the tooth off, and put it back on with Velcro, and then take it
the
off?
The tooth
and put
is
it back
never
on?
Seen again. And none of the other Bad Kitty picture books or early chapter books, do you ever see that tooth again? As far as I can watch, I'm going to have, like, a lot of people writing me, like, wrong in the fourth book. Like, I don't know. But
Nick,
I don't recall.
Nick's going to message you personally.
No, he seriously will. He's going to listen to this, and he's going to be like, Bessie, you are wrong. Be wrong, 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 wrong.
Well, I like the use of the alphabet. I like the creativity with some of the choices, like eating or not eating Uncle Murray.
I love Uncle Murray so much.
And there's a lot of fun illustrations. I feel like the mouse and the gold fish must go to, like, group therapy together and to deal with Kitty's constantly changing emotions.
Yes.
And geez. The new puppy might want to join in.
Fortunately, Puppy is so stupid, Puppy has no idea that Kitty, even though Kitty loves to torture Puppy, Puppy don't care.
Oh, okay.
Puppy's just a dog.
I worry about where these parents buy their groceries.
I would love to know that.
I pray they don't have children.
Yeah. Well, not yet, but the baby does come later. Yeah. They do adopt a baby at one point. Yeah,
well, it's rereadable, and it's something that has an easily memorable title. A lot of books you give me, I don't remember what it's called right after I read it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to forget this
esoteric
title.
Esoteric picture book titles are like, you know.
I didn't remember King Stork last week.
That one's like two nouns, so it's a little easier.
Well, I gave it a 7.5. It would be higher if it weren't for the disappearing and reappearing tooth.
All right. So with our combined snaggletooth votes, it's a classic.
It's a classic.
Woo!
It's
above
a 5.
It is not yet. Now it's got a couple years, like, what, 3 years here. And then it'll be 20 years old. And we'll see if it has retained its classic status.
Okay.
3 years. There you go. Letters time.
Ooh.
This one comes from Judy. She says, okay, so I should clarify. When I posted our King Stork episode, I said, I did it on April Fool's Day. And I said in all my social medias that Trina Sharheiman was a trickster, and therefore this is perfect. Did I plan that? I did not, but that's how it worked out. Judy writes in and says, well, first of all, before even reading beyond the opening caption, I'm wondering if this entry today was an April Fool joke. Both author and illustrator are familiar names to me. I consulted Amazon to check out what folks over there thought, and sure enough, up popped an image of the same cover in several reviews. I carefully read them all and was not surprised to find diversity in opinion. However, several negative comments were directed mainly at age recommendation. I also learned King Stork was honored in 1973 as the Boston Globe Hornbook Award for Illustration. Way to go, Trina Sharheiman. Encouraged by all that this was no joke, I settled in to listen to a very interesting and fun podcast.
Aww.
So thank you, Judy. Very
kind. I'm glad I got an award for the illustration and not for the writing.
Exactly. Well, he was dead. So, yeah, there wasn't much you could
still
do.
Still angry
anyway.
Over that guy.
He's Howard Pyle, man. He's
He yucked her yum.
He totally yucked her yum. Yeah. Ugh. Oh, well. Grown-up things we like.
Okay, so you know how I'm donating to a different nonprofit every month as part of my New Year's resolutions?
I do know that, yes.
This month, I chose Chicago Autism Project. So they were founded by a team of pediatric therapists who identified a need for more resources for families of children with autism. They connect families with therapy services, offer grants and scholarships, coordinate diagnostic evaluations, they host events for families, and they provide resources on autism and developmental delays. I know that the organization Autism Speaks, it's a really big nonprofit, but they're controversial. So
yeah,
I'd rather support a local organization, and I would encourage others to do the same, not just this month, but every month. So there you go.
Excellent. Very good. Mine is, a very odd thing has come up. Our family history dates back to Baroque, Michigan. Baroque, Michigan is a teeny tiny town in Michigan. They have a heritage fest regularly. I don't know if it's every year, but they have it, you know, pretty regularly. This year it has a theme, and the theme is living in a small town can be a circus. And they're naming it that because of my book, Long Road to the Circus, which is set partially in Baroque, Michigan. So, from July 25th to 28th, they are going to be celebrating. And on Saturday the 27th, I will be there. And I found out today I will get to be in the parade, which will probably be 2 blocks long. But I don't care. I'm looking into possibly getting a full-on Madame Marantad costume. I've got some connections for that. I'm trying to figure out if I can throw candy or not. It's going to be a whole thing. So, hey, if you want to hang out in teeny tiny Baroque on the weekend of July 25th through 28th, I will be there on the 27th. I will be signing books. And every single third through eighth grader has been forced to read this book.
I know. I saw
that is amazing.
I saw that there was like a picture of a kid reading it, and we need to keep an eye on this kid because in 20 years he might be coming after you. He did not look thrilled.
Well, he was also reading it, but I mean, he wasn't like scowling or anything.
Well, he also had a camera in his face. Like,
yeah, he had a camera in his face, and he was like, "Dude, I'm just trying to read my freaking book that I have to read for some reason."
When you said that you had a float, I immediately thought like an ice cream float. Yeah. So I was like, "Ooh, what flavor is it?"
You
like,
know what I? You know what I meant? I should have said to you when you told me that. Don't rain on my parade, Kate. Don't rain on my parade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a parade.
I'm in it. I want you to have a float though, like
an
ice cream float.
I will. Well, I'm sure I can get both, probably.
Oh,
Baroque has ice cream.
Oh,
floats.
You think you can get a float?
I think
too.
I can get my float and eat it too. That's what I think. Yeah. So that's my thing.
Okay.
So that's fun. Yeah. And so I did initially think that I was going to do the book that someone recommended as a potential violence and murder one, but that will be next week.
Oh, goody.
Yay. Violence and murder in picture books. Yay, so fun. Okay, and until I get to my murdery, violent picture book, I've been Betsy.
I'm Kate.
Bye. Fuse 8 and Kate is a Fuse Number 8 production. You can reach us at fusekate8@gmail.com. You can follow our podcast on Twitter @Fuse_Kate. You can follow us on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky @Fuse8Kate. That's Fuse8Kate. Listen to us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Audible, Amazon Music, or Player FM.
or follow us on iTunes and rate our podcast if you're so inclined. Our music is by Haddon Keim, our logo is by Andrea Cerumi, and our own poor puppy is Drew Atienza. Views 8 and Kate is a creation of Kate Atienza and Betsy Bird.